Everyone, and welcome to The Heart of Sports with Jason Springer and Jeff Cohen, powered by Elec 825. We are thrilled to join you on WWDB 860 AM and 97.5 HD2, part of the Beasley Media Group, ready to help you move into the weekend, talking about all the news in the world of sports. How you doing, Jeff?
Well, probably not as well as you.
You know, I wasn't going to start that way.
Of course you were.
No, I was going to let you go first.
Oh, you were going to wait until the appropriate moment and then slam me?
No, not slam you, just question you.
Okay. What's the question? You might as well just get it over, rip the Band-Aid off and move on.
So it's a good move for the Eagles. I really don't care how the Giants fans feel. I just want to know if it's a good move for the Eagles getting Saquon Barkley, because I love it.
As long as they get to keep him?
Well, they have him for 3 years.
Well, what about the tampering? What happens with the tampering?
Oh, please.
Do they negate the contract?
It's the most attention James Franklin's gotten.
Or do they just put tape over James Franklin's mouth?
It's the most attention James Franklin's gotten in years. Come on, man. Shut your mouth. We'll see. I mean, look, so for our listeners, the Eagles have been very active this week in the free agency market. Bucking a lot
for
of
those, for those people that were in a bomb shelter over the last week and haven't heard.
Yes.
I like the fact that you think that the people that are listening to this show have no idea.
I like the fact that you think that they know everything. I'm just trying to make sure people know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, what people know is that Saquon Barkley is now with the Eagles. And I will tell you, look, as somebody who could reach down and pull out a Saquon Barkley Giants jersey,
that hurt.
It hurts that he went to the Eagles. It doesn't necessarily hurt the Giants, because Barkley and most running backs are not players that can make a team. But a running back that already has an offense that has a lot of the other pieces can complement and make the difference. So on the Giants team, when you have no offensive line and you have no wide receivers and you have no healthy tight end,
no quarterback,
and you have quarterbacks that are either hurt and aren't going to live up to their hype, or if you want to call Daniel Jones hype it anymore, or you have Tommy McNuggets, Saquon Barkley is a wasted asset on a team like that. But on an Eagles team that has two star wide receivers, a tight end, a good offensive line, and a quarterback, Saquon Barkley can make the difference. Because I think what people are going to see here is, one, he's a three down back. Two, he's not just a great runner and a very good receiver. He's also a really good blocker.
He's also a really good person. Which,
yes,
I kind of like having really good people on my team who can be really good at football.
That makes it harder. If he was a jerk,
I think that's why so many fans were upset. He was what the Giants fans wanted, and they just never put a team around him to let him have the success that he could have and should have had. He also played on that MetLife turf. So,
at least in my foggy memory at this point, I was trying to think of the greatest Giants that have later played for the Eagles. Like, not somebody who played for each team for half a season towards the end of their career. Can you name anyone?
Not many.
There aren't many. This does not happen. You'd be surprised how little this happens, even now. But the ones that I can come up with in my head are Sean Lendetta, who started with the Giants and had a very good career, and then came over to the Eagles and had a very good career.
You really can't lose your mind over a punter. No offense to punters.
I know, but that's how deep you have to go. I mean, Saquon Barkley is the best Giant, like significant Giant, that ever came over and signed with the Eagles.
Now, it's
never going to happen by trade. And then if you want me to talk like total misery, Joe Pisarcik came over. And for those that don't remember Joe Pisarcik, I will just say 1978 miracle at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often. I'm happy with who it happened for. They are denying the tampering part. Saquon said at his press conference yesterday that he never actually spoke to Howie, that it went through his agent. So, and that Franklin,
that's still tampering.
I don't know what tampering is in this league. I have no idea what tampering is in this league. Like, they don't all talk. It's just James Franklin blurting it out loud.
Well, here's my favorite part of this little period of time is that the NFL refers to it as legal tampering.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. As an attorney.
Yes.
You can't use a word that stands for illegal and then put legal in front of it and have it make any sense.
I'm so glad that the lawyer on the show said that, because it's nonsensical to me that you have a legal tampering period. Either you can talk or you can't talk. Like, I don't get it.
It's like committing a legal crime.
Yes. So, all right. So the Eagles bucked their
trend. A giant coming over to play for the Eagles and vice versa is a legal crime.
Well, I'm all in favor of that type of crime. You, on the other hand, are struggling with
it. You're an enabler.
I would like to point out that they did say that they may end up cutting Daniel Jones in June. So they clearly
they do have a stud now in Drew Lock.
They clearly made the wrong choice, though, when they decided to franchise Saquon and extend Daniel. They could have signed Saquon and franchised Daniel and realized he's not the guy. So, but
you're reveling in this.
No,
it's okay. You're entitled to revel. I've reveled in your misery as well. Yes. But
Rutgers, Michigan.
Here's the thing. You say they could have done that. That would have just locked up more money into a running back when you had nothing around him.
Well, and that's
when I talk nothing, we routinely send little memes to each other about the putting five garbage cans where the Giants' offensive line is.
Now,
you're just looking for an injury.
Not that I want to give the Giants credit, but they have signed some offensive linemen. They signed John Runyon. They signed another offensive lineman,
they signed John Runyon Jr.
Can you imagine?
They didn't sign John Runyon.
Can you imagine when Jr. gives Senior a Giants jersey to put on to go to the game? How that's going to go over?
You know what? We both know John. He'll be very proud to wear it, actually. He's a very proud papa. He'll be glad to put that on.
Sort of like when your kid tossed out your Mets jersey and then you took it out of the trash and he tossed it out again.
No, it was a hat.
It was a hat.
Okay. It was a spring training hat.
Just making sure that your fandom was done correct.
Yeah, I still have that hat.
So let's go over out for the Eagles, DeAndre Swift, who signed with Chicago. That I want to get to Chicago in a second with the moves they're making. Kelsey retired.
Keenan Allen. Whoa.
Fletcher Cox retired. Kevin Byard's gone. Mariota's gone. Nick Morrow and Jack Stoll in. Saquon Barkley, which they buck the trend getting a running back. They bring back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who they never should have let go, mm-hmm. as safety DB. Devontae Parker on a one-year deal. They bring in an edge rusher with Bryce Huff, linebacker for special teams, Zach Braun, extend Brandon Mann, Jake Elliott, Landon Dickerson, sign another offensive lineman in Matt Hennessy, and then yesterday bring in a linebacker from Tampa, Derek White. Your thoughts on the Eagles' activity this offseason?
Doesn't matter. What matters is what the coaching is going to look like. And I will tell you, as much as you want to look forward to all of this, I have no faith that Nick Sirianni has any idea what he's doing anymore.
Do you have any faith that the coaches around him know what they're doing? Like, can Kellen Moore run an offense?
Give me a reason that if I'm an Eagles fan that I should believe that.
Well, I have to, otherwise I'll be a miserable person.
No, that's not a reason. Saying I have to is not a reason. That's blind faith. But give me a reason that you should even have blind faith at this point. I'm telling you, look, we've heard from people inside the organization, people in the know, from the moment that Sirianni got there, that players would go run through walls for him. That's not what we saw last season. And I still haven't heard anybody refute the story that the bouncer on the sideline was controlling the emotions of the head coach.
I understand. What I would say is, at this point, you actually have experienced assistant coaches to manage the game, so that he can be the CEO. He didn't get to do that last year, and he didn't do a good job at it. And I can only hope, as an Eagles fan, that they have some type of situation that he does it better, because I'm not in the building. And I told you, I probably would have made the move based on how they collapsed at the end.
But problem isn't what's in the building. The problem is what's on the sidelines.
I understand that.
And that story should shake anybody.
I was told you about my concern on this very show. So, but... when
you have faith.
Well, I have to have faith. Otherwise, Why do you have faith? Because I'll be you. Oh, I don't want to watch the Sixers game this season because they're going to go out in the second round. The Giants have a bunch of trash cans.
But hold on, time out. We can talk about the Sixers later, but I'm right.
You could be right, but you don't enjoy the journey at all.
What do you mean I could be right? You're telling me that you still have faith that the Sixers are getting past the second round?
I don't even think they're getting to the second round. Okay, at this point, then, I don't know if they're making the playoffs.
You're the one who you always tells me that you want to worry and set expectations low so you can be happily surprised.
Not today. I don't want to worry. I want to be, it's spring, baseball soon. The Eagles are out there signing linebackers and running backs.
I know what's going on with you. You're still screwed up from the time change.
Oh, my God. Anybody who supports changing the clocks does not have young kids. That's all I'm going to say. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about that.
Time change plus an extra day this year.
I am more confident, by the way, than you are with the Eagles. I think it was a disaster to the end of the season, but I think they brought in experienced coordinators that will be able to run those things. That is okay. My hope.
They still report to Nick Sirianni.
They do, but they're going to run.
He's still the CEO.
He is.
He's still going to be the guy that makes the decisions. He's still going to be the guy that might piss off the quarterback and your star receiver.
I'd like to point out he was a fine CEO in 2022 when they went to the Super Bowl.
Yes,
he was generally an okay CEO when they had 11 wins, even though they were a flawed team.
But the stories that we've heard say that the only reason that he behaved like that was because Big Dom was on the sidelines.
Big Dom is going to stay away from people so that he can stay on the sideline. So we'll be in good shape, right? That's how this all works.
Is he really going to be let back on the sideline?
Of course he is. He was let back on the sideline in the Tampa game. It didn't matter.
I really don't understand that.
No,
like, how is
there's nothing terrible?
You
did not hear me. I said that he was on the sideline for Tampa and they still played terrible. I did not say it was terrible that he was on the sidelines. Either way, like, there are plenty of people that are on the sideline. He'll easily serve a suspension. He'll be allowed back on the sideline and he won't be able to touch people like he shouldn't have touched people before.
All right, well, let's talk about the other teams that actually made moves.
All right, so the other team that's going to be...
Kirk Cousins?
Are
the Falcons now competitive with the Eagles by signing Kirk Cousins?
Not competitive with the Eagles, but he's got weapons.
Why? Wait, why not? They have weapons on that team.
He's got a lot of weapons, but they're still a very young team in terms of what they're doing there. So, yes,
they're going to win their division. I mean, the only other team in that division that has any chance of winning is Tampa Bay, and kudos to Baker Mayfield from turning a one-year contract into $100 million.
Bet on himself.
Mm-hmm.
Got to appreciate people who take the chance and bet on themselves. Yeah.
And Jim Harbaugh, he's just selling off pieces now.
Justin Herbert's going to throw the ball to Nick Bosa and Khalil Mack. that's all he's going to.
They got rid of Eckler, who is now with the Commanders.
Uh-huh.
They now traded just 24 hours ago, traded Keenan Allen, Keenan Allen missed, I believe, 3 games last year and still had over 100 receptions.
And they traded him to the Bears for a fourth rounder. The Bears are putting a team around.
And they cut Mike Williams.
They did cut Mike Williams. The Bears, now we can talk about what they're going to do with the draft. They have the number 1 and the number 9 overall picks. They have Justin Fields. There's question of whether they'll take Caleb Williams or somebody else. They've got, they added Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift there. I mean, they're making moves to set it up for whatever quarterback they end up going with out there.
They're taking Caleb Williams.
Would you do that?
Would I?
Is he the quarterback?
No, I think he's already shown signs of Russell Wilson disease.
I was talking to a friend about that the other day, that they don't have faith in Caleb Williams based on his makeup and how he's played and things like that. And you mentioned Russell Wilson. He's going to make like $1 million from the Steelers, like $33 million from the Broncos to go play for the Steelers. Is that a good fit?
I don't know. I mean, look, people want to give up on Kenny Pickett. And based on what we've seen in the NFL, Kenny Pickett isn't exactly putting up huge numbers.
Kenny Gloves.
But I think anybody who follows the Steelers at all, Matt, the offensive coordinator that was there was putrid. And so the question is whether or not with a new offensive coordinator, there's a chance that Pickett can thrive. And I'm not so sure Russell Wilson has much in the tank for, you know, people want to get excited and say, oh, Russell Wilson's now going to be in a better offense or somehow this is going to work. Well, by the way, the Steelers got rid of Deontay Johnson too. So the Steelers aren't exactly loaded with weapons except running backs. Russell Wilson was traded for a boatload of stuff to the Seahawks.
It's the worst deal ever.
Pete Carroll got one over Denver. Denver had two head coaches in the 2 years that he was there. The first head coach was criticized by the next head coach for not getting the most out of him. And the second head coach basically wanted nothing to do with him.
What an absolute disaster that was out there for how much they gave up for him, what he produced.
I will tell you that in a year, Sean Payton has damaged his legacy.
Tell me, talk more about that.
What he did in New Orleans was great. I mean, he brought a team that was an embarrassment to the league for so long. People used to wear paper bags over their heads to games. They used to call them the Aints. And they got Drew Brees, which was lucky for them when the Dolphins didn't sign him. And Drew Brees won them a Super Bowl. And Sean Payton then took this job with Denver and came in and decided that he was going to just sit there and talk about how great he was by saying how bad the other coach was, which is not something that coaches normally do. And came in and didn't do anything with Russell Wilson. They were still a disaster. And I think that he's tainted who he is by the way that he talked about the prior coach. And I think that the way he handled Russell Wilson, not to say that Russell Wilson's blameless. I mean, Russell Wilson was a quarterback who had his own office in the locker room. So I just think that Sean Payton, the bloom is a little bit off the rose for him.
Can they turn it around? Can he change that reputation back from
They need a quarterback. I don't even know who they have in their quarterback room right now.
I'll have to
Who does Denver have that can actually throw the ball?
I'll check the QB depth chart while I do that.
It's not anybody good. So go ahead, check. Get our crack statisticians to check that.
Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci are the quarterbacks on the Broncos depth chart.
Have you ever heard of Ben DiNucci?
Yeah, I have heard of Ben DiNucci. And I've heard of Jarrett Stidham because
Jarrett Stidham we've heard of. He was with the Patriots. He was with the Raiders.
Follow him at James Madison? Ben DiNucci was there? Come on, you were a big follower of Ben DiNucci at James Madison. I mean, I don't know. Again, they've had a problem filling the quarterback need out there for years since Peyton Manning left. They haven't found a solution.
And by the way, Tebow was not that good when he was there.
No, he had the team around him
right
when he was there, but they don't have either. It looks like
they have Walmart money.
Looks like your boy Kadarius Toney may have lost his job in KC. Hollywood Brown going to catch catches out there. The rich get richer. Patrick Mahomes actually has a receiver that can catch the ball now instead of Kadarius Toney. I left you speechless.
And who?
Hollywood Brown.
Oh, okay.
Fine. He can catch the ball.
I don't think that's the big... I think there's another move to be made for the Chiefs by Mahomes restructuring his contract.
Well, he did. He got him $21 million restructuring.
So I think there's going to be more moves to be made. I think he's going to get more offense. I think that somehow they're going to get a really good receiver in the draft because this is a really good receiver draft. They don't need much on defense.
The Cowboys going to make a move this offseason?
I think they're the only team in the NFL that has not made a move yet.
I'm not sad about it. I'm entertained by it. I'm really enjoying the Cowboys fans losing their
Would
mind.
You be surprised if before the draft, Dak Prescott was traded?
No, nothing would surprise me. His brother's out there complaining over and over again about the team regularly.
I don't get that. You know, lots of us have siblings and family members that we may not get along with or don't agree with us in the same thing. How do you go out there and do that? Who is he to go out and sit there and criticize the team? Yes, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but you really shouldn't be impacting your family member's ability to do their job, which is exactly what he's doing. He's making it really hard.
He is.
And there's no reason to make it hard. But Dak Prescott's hit on this cap hit on this team, if they don't restructure his deal or sign him to an extension, is prohibitive for them doing anything else, which makes us all happy.
I'm fine with it. Now, look,
why are they doing this unless they're unless they're looking to trade him?
Now, look, we have talked about this when it came to Carter Hart, the inability to trade him because of stories around him. There are stories about investigations and whether he's being blackmailed by somebody. So you wonder whether that causes somebody pause to make that deal or not. I don't know. So, you know, could he be traded? Sure, he could be in a perfect world for them.
If any of it's true, okay, then it would be nice to know that people would give pause. However, we had a serial perpetrator in Deshaun Watson. And the Browns signed him to, at the time, the richest guaranteed contract in NFL history, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I have no faith in the NFL. I don't think that's holding up anything.
You know how much Dak's cap hit is this year?
I think it's $59 million, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's more than, like, all of the Eagles' skill positions this year combined.
Well, well done to Jeffrey Lurie and Harry Roseman.
Yeah, no, they've definitely done it all right. Any final thoughts?
Actually, what I'm surprised at is that the Cowboys didn't keep Tony Pollard. So now, who are their running backs now?
Who is going to run the ball for them?
I have no idea. Are they going to bring Zeke back?
Well, isn't he in New England still?
He was in New England last year, but I don't know if he was signed to a long-term deal or not. I doubt it.
Yeah, that might have just been a weird.
I don't know who's around, but they got rid of and they didn't sign Derrick Henry. So who's left of the running backs that are out there?
We have 35 minutes left in the show, give or take, minus 30 seconds for a commercial. I could give you
doing
that,
math?
I could give you that whole time, and there is zero chance you would guess any of the running backs on the Cowboys depth chart. I could give you all of next week's show and use the Deuce Vaughn, Malik Davis, and Snoop Connor are the running backs for the Cowboys right now on the depth chart.
If I was a Cowboys fan, I'd root for Snoop Connor to be the running back next year just because it'd be fun to say his name.
I do have to ask you, you can say no. Do you want to talk at all about Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Okay.
He's an idiot.
We will.
Is that what you want me to do? I mean, was he never not? Aaron Rodgers thinks he's the smartest person in the room.
Wasn't he the guy at the end of the season who said everybody needs to stop with all of the distractions that are not football? Isn't that what he said to everybody as he now ponders being a vice president for somebody? Sorry, a vice presidential candidate.
This
for
could
somebody.
Only happen to one organization.
The Jets.
Exactly. The Jets.
I saw somebody say that he could run for office 6 days a week and still show up at the stadium and be the best quarterback the Jets have had in decades.
That's true. But, you know, quarterback is a 7 day a week job. And I don't understand why he thinks that this is if he decides to do it, then fine. Why he decided to open his mouth and say it other than he wants attention is beyond me.
I have no idea. I'm just glad he's not my
quarterback.
It's
just a distraction. And by the way, if you don't think that it's selfish, if you're a Jets fan, here's what you need to know. We're in free agency. If you're a player considering a bunch of teams and you believe that your, regardless of your political ideology, if you believe that your quarterback is going to be dabbling in politics and may actually leave the team because of politics, are you going to sign with that team or a team that has stability?
Yeah, no, not good timing.
This literally impacts the Jets' ability to sign free agents.
Are you surprised by any of it? I mean, you're not a Rodgers fan. You've never been a Rodgers fan. Does any of this surprise you anymore with him?
No.
Yeah, like I saw it and I was like,
and by the way, is our health care plan going to be to go away to a cave and do ayahuasca? Like, is that going to be the national health care plan?
See, and that's
that
why
they're going to run on?
That's why I give you the chance to comment on these things that we're talking about, because you got to get those jokes in. Anything else?
It's not a, sadly, it's not a joke.
I did want to go back to the Eagles for a second before we move off of it. So Bryce Huff as an edge rusher, he wasn't a three down player for the Jets. They still have Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat, who potentially are exploring trades, or Josh Sweat maybe cut, something like that. What is your thoughts on the Eagles' defensive line right now, separate from what Fangio is going to do with calling it, the talent that's there?
Well, look, with losing Fletcher Cox to retirement, Brandon Graham's coming back for his farewell tour, but he's a year older. You don't know if Josh Sweat and Hassan Reddick are going to be here. I don't think that anybody can, with a straight face, can say the defensive line is going to be as strong as it was last season.
I don't think so. There were questions about Sweat's play at the end of the season, so I don't really know. But it seems like they're kind of on the outs with him. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up finding some type of deal with Reddick and moving on from Sweat. But we'll see with that. We mentioned Saquon coming to the Eagles. How about the rest of the running back kind of musical chairs? Derrick Henry to the Ravens, Josh Jacobs to Green Bay, Aaron Jones to the Vikings, Tony Pollard to the Titans. Who got the best of those running back deals?
Green Bay.
Okay.
I think that Josh Jacobs is going to look. They had a pretty good running back there in Aaron Jones.
They did.
But Josh Jacobs, I think, is a better version of Aaron Jones. And I think putting him in that backfield, if you believe that Love is the quarterback of the future
for
the Packers have young receivers.
Very young
offensive line.
They were the youngest offense in football last year. I think their average age was 23 and a half or 24. Some crazy.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers were in the NFC Championship game next year.
Yeah, I think the Packers are going to be very good. And I do believe in Jordan Love.
And again, Josh Jacobs is not somebody who would make an offense. He's somebody that can enhance an offense. I just don't think there's any running back in the NFL that can make an offense. And Derrick Henry is a great signing for the Ravens. The Ravens' problem isn't running the ball. They don't run the ball that much. And he has a lot of mileage on him. There is no running back that has more mileage. I mean, he's not a guy who misses contact.
No.
He is a guy who creates contact and has run the ball a lot over his career.
He seeks out contact.
Yeah. If the Ravens are smart, what they will do, hopefully Dobbins will come back for them and actually be healthy this year. And if so, they split the time and keep him fresh as they can until playoff time. You do not, if Derrick Henry is leading the league or up there in the league in yards halfway through the season, I don't think that Derrick Henry is going to be much help if they make the playoffs.
Why don't we skip the break now? We'll do the break at the end of the show. We'll thank our advertisers, the operating engineers. We'll just keep talking sports. Did you stay up late last night to watch the Big East tourney?
No.
Come on, man. Conference tournament time. Because Villanova was playing.
Okay.
It's fun. It went to overtime. Villanova Marquette. Villanova's bubble probably got burst. They probably won't make the tourney after that. You think the last two...
Who was on the bubble? Villanova?
Villanova.
They weren't getting in the tournament.
If they would have another...
As much as it would have been nice to have Big Five teams in the NCAA tournament, that I don't think that's happening this year.
Who's still standing?
Playing. Who?
Temple and St. Joe's.
Okay.
St. Joe's so is far. In the semifinals on Saturday against VCU so far. Billy Lang doing a nice job there. And Temple, after all the controversy that they had, haven't lost since then.
Okay.
So, I mean, we'll see. I don't think you're going to have many local teams. I mean, you obviously care about Colorado with your son out there. Did you watch a game when you went out there to see him? Did you guys go see
him? I did go. I went to the final game in the season, senior night.
What's that team going to be like in the tournament? I mean, they've got a good team.
If they make it, they're a bubble team.
They're a bubble
team. Now, they've won 7 in a row. I think they're 23-9 at this point. They are looking really good. If you ask me to pick a team that can make a run in tournament, they're one of those teams. They have really good shooters. The guy that is supposed to be the best guy in the team has virtually not played this season, which is the freshman Cody Williams, whose brother's in the NBA, who's supposed to be a top, he's supposed to be a top five pick after his freshman year, but he hasn't played that much this year.
Why not?
Last night he only had 6 points and he came off the bench. He's just been hurt all season.
Is he healthy now?
I can't tell you he's healthy, but he actually got in a game. He didn't play at the end of the season. So it was a surprise to see him in the Pac-12 tournament yet last night.
Do you watch the bracket selection shows or do you just see what happens afterwards?
No, I wait till it's over and then I go online and I look at the bracket. I don't need to hear them talk about it for an hour or 2 hours. And it's just
but
too much.
But we do the heart of sports. Don't you want to see the kids' reactions, the excitement, the emotion?
No, I want to see the excitement and the emotion when they play the game.
So grumpy. My goodness. Nobody can enjoy the journey. We got to get to the game. Let's get there. Let's be there. Let's be done.
That's not the journey for me. That's a journey for them. I'm happy for them. I don't need to waste my time sitting there listening to people announce something that I can just look on a computer 3 seconds for 3 seconds.
Let's not
an hour or two later.
Let's not celebrate anybody's happiness with them. Let's go straight to the Google
God.
And get it
really?
Right.
Really? Okay.
We've talked about this. I think that there's more attention on the women's tourney right now than the men's tourney in terms of Caitlin Clark, and there was the brawl in the LSU South Carolina game. Not obviously what they want to be known for.
I've probably expressed it to you on this show. I'm not a Kim Mulkey fan.
There was a very clear contrast.
Never have been. I don't think that she handled the issue with Breanna Stewart and Russia well, who, even though it was a player that played for her. I think that the way that Dawn Staley handled it afterwards was a portrayal of class. And I think Kim Mulkey's comments were classless.
I'll send my person out there to pick. Don't pick on a bigger, smaller person. There was such a clear contrast between Dawn Staley's response, owning it, talking about the situation in the game and saying it's still inexcusable, versus Kim Mulkey saying you picked on the wrong person, pick on somebody else. The contrast was very stark after that. Yeah. And neither of those coaches.
And it was very disappointing that a leader of young student athletes decided to act that way after a game.
And neither of those coaches want that look for their sport. But with Dawn Staley's response,
you're saying that. What makes you believe that? Based on what? It's not like Kim Mulkey didn't have time to think about what she was going to say.
True.
So what leads you to believe that she doesn't want that to be her sport?
I think that the women's coaches want the attention to be on the court and the play on the court. I don't think
again, what leads you to believe that applies to Kim Mulkey? Kim Mulkey wears like feather boas on the sideline. It's all about her. It is not about her.
We say the same thing when there's fighting in the men's game. Anytime there is behavior like this on the court, it tarnishes the whole game, the teams, everybody.
Yeah,
else.
But I'm just trying to figure out where you're giving her the benefit of the doubt.
No,
the focus is supposed to be on the players because it hasn't been. If you remember earlier this season, Angel Reese was out. Nobody knew why she was out. And Kim Mulkey basically made jokes about it when she was asked questions, didn't she?
I think Kim Mulkey is not appropriate in how she handles it. I think overall the coaches for the sport don't want it to be taken by a black guy. But I think she's not, when I used to run campaigns, I would say you have to see the trees through the forest. She's so in the middle of it that you can't separate that she's damaging her own sport by the way she is responding and leading athletes.
I don't know. I've just never seen her as somebody who cares about anything but herself.
Do you care anymore to like take off to start on Thursday when the games start with March Madness? Like my parents used to joke, I would say, oh, I take off to start the tournament. And they'd be like, well, you take off every day from school. So they never really had faith that I went to classes to begin with. But like the tourney was like a holiday for me. The 12 o'clock starts, watching all the games back to back to back. I'd take a break. I would do nothing, plan my day around it. Do you do that?
Not anymore. No. I used to. I didn't take off of work for it.
Oh, I did.
I would go to, at lunchtime, me and coworkers would go down to whatever local bar was there and make sure that the TVs were on, the games, while we were eating lunch.
Can I make a confession on the radio?
If you want to.
So our listeners know. Once you
do that, there's no privilege.
I worked for you at one point when I was doing marketing at your law firm. Mm-hmm. That was when CBS created the boss button where you could watch the games, but click the little button and it looks like a spreadsheet's mm-hmm. up there when somebody comes to the office.
You had the boss button?
I definitely did that while working for you. So there is my confession. You can go back and dock my pay from like 2 decades ago from when I worked at your law firm. But yes, I'll
make a confession too. I once had a colleague who was much more curmudgeon-y and grumpy than I am.
Come on, get out of here.
And he said that nobody should be watching in the office come NCAA tournament time, and was just very vocal about it. And one day he called technology and asked them to come down to his office because CBS wouldn't stream on his
while telling everybody else they couldn't watch the games. That's the best. That is the absolute best there. Before we move off of college, did you see we're not even to a 12-team playoff and they're going to expand it to 14?
Yeah, well, let's just keep changing it before we even do anything.
What is the actual cutoff eventually? All right, are we moving to like a field of 64 for football? I mean, forever we couldn't have more than two teams, and now we've gone.
What we're
from...
eventually moving to is that the Big Ten and the SEC will have, how many teams do they have in those two conferences? 32 or so. We'll have those 32. It'll be a 40 team or 48 team, and it'll be 32 Big Ten and SEC teams, and then a bunch of at-larges for the rest of the college football landscape.
Well, I mean, look, the SEC and the Big 12 get more of the deal. Like, that's, they have the negotiating power now. They're getting more revenues. So the ACC and places like that are going to have to figure out how to compete with other conferences that are getting that money.
Mm-hmm.
Will you care? Will it be too, is there a point where it becomes too watered down for you? You already don't like, you know, the Tidy Bowl and the Bahamas Bowl that's being played in North Carolina.
Bowl. Is there an actual Tidy Bowl now? Did I miss something?
No,
I miss the memo on the Tidy Bowl?
No, I just had to throw that out there to see if you were listening to us today. Is there a point of no return for you with college football? Like, you've reached it with golf. You're just, I try so hard to ask you golf questions and you're not interested. That you have,
which,
like,
is a shame. You know how much I love golf. I know that, but I love to go to tournaments. They killed golf.
But you're a principled person, and you kind of have an expiration date on sports. If people don't follow what you want, you've reached that with golf. You got frustrated with baseball for a little while. You still watched, but so is there like a point of no return for college football for you, where they've diluted it so much that it's not real for you anymore?
It hasn't gotten there yet. That kind of stuff, I think I can tune out for now. There's an absurdity to it, what's going on with the conferences. We'll have to see how it shakes out before I see whether or not I get tired of it. But, you know, I think for people who go to schools that have college football programs, that there's something different about it than any other sport. There's a passion to it that is hard to separate, no matter how bad it gets or how bad things are at your school.
Hard to replicate in another sport or another arena. The
correct.
Passion of college sports isn't always the same as pro sports, no matter how much the Miami Marlins want to let you bring in a tuba and what other music you want to play at the stadium.
A vuvuzela?
We'll get to that in a few minutes. But golf,
you are right. Golf is still something I want to play if I can stay healthy enough, but they killed it for me, and they killed it for lots of people.
You're my barometer at this point when sports have gone too far. It used to be my dad. My dad, like I told you, my dad stopped going to baseball games.
Are you saying I'm that old?
No, not at all. You're okay.
Not
you're
this time.
But I'm a person that will stay up and watch games regardless. Like they will continue to beat me over the head, and I will show up and watch the game. You draw a line much, mm-hmm. not faster than me, but you kind of have where you're. So like I've told you I was watching Full Swing season two with my wife the other night, and you can't bring yourself to watch the tournaments because you don't like the fight over what it's about. So I just wasn't sure if we're getting to that point. You know, we talk about it with NIL and your frustrations there and the transfer portal. I'm just not sure at what point colleges go too far for you.
I'll let you know when I get there.
All right. We'll stop talking about it.
I always do let you know when I get there.
I know. We lose topics on the radio show. I don't even fill in like on our planning sheet. I don't even really put much in for golf unless we have a golf guest now, because I know that if I bring it up, you'll be like, I don't care. I'm not.
Well, it's not that I don't care. It's that I do care.
You're bothered by it.
It's that I cared what these golfers look. I don't know. Honestly, I'm being honest with you. I don't know if I could turn down the ridiculous sums of money that they have been offered. But I'd like to believe that if I was making millions and made enough money for my family's lifetime where I could be comfortable, that I wouldn't sell, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, selling my soul to the Saudi government for more money, when I knew that it was going to damage the sport. And it's not just that it damages the sport because of the idea of sports washing. Look what it's done to the players. If you look at tennis, golf, individual sports, there's a camaraderie to those sports. When you watch golf tournaments, for the most part, there are some rivalries, but for the most part, those guys are like really good friends. And they travel all over the world together, you know, from tournament to tournament. The fracture you see in golf now, the comments that have made about people that have stayed with the PGA versus ones that have been with LIV, it's so disheartening to see. But I understand why there's the fracture. And by the way, the other villain in all of this is Greg Norman. The way that he behaved, the attitude he took as he was doing this, created this culture of the us versus them in a sport that never was that.
It's interesting that you talk about that, because in the first episode of season two of Full Swing, it becomes a big deal at the first major when Rory and Brooks Koepka are going to play a practice round together. Exactly what you're talking about. It's the Hatfields and the McCoys. You're either on LIV or you're on the PGA. You can't be together. And there's that perception from the outside. I'm not sure if it's that way on the inside. And I think that some of the PGA players have less of that animosity, given how LIV has shaken out with the PGA trying to make a deal. And Rory saying, like, basically, why did I stand up here for a year, take the slings and arrows if you're just going to try to make a deal with them? But I
would argue that the people that stayed with the PGA are the ones that are right now angrier.
Yeah, because
they did stay with it.
Yeah, they didn't take the money, and now everybody else is going to get the same benefits in their eyes.
I mean, Rory McIlroy stood for principle and was very vocal about it.
And
Tiger Woods stood for principle.
Took much more of a burden of carrying the tour on his back. And that's chronicled in that first episode, is how many more demands he had on his schedule outside of playing golf than he did in the past. And it weighed on him at times. And it was challenging for him to focus on playing golf while at the same time being the ambassador for the game that he became, being the guy on the policy committee, being the guy that's the face with Tiger of the PGA while all the other players are defecting. So, I mean, we'll see. The Masters coming up in a few weeks. You'll start to hear the music and see the advertisements during the tournament. Will you get excited for the Masters? Or you?
No, I won't.
That's nope. So disappointing. And you say that as somebody who has gone to the Masters.
Yep.
Like, you've been on the course.
I've been to the PGA Championship more times than I can remember. It's just hard now.
That's sad for me.
And by the way, for me, it is a little harder because my favorite golfer for a long time was Phil Mickelson. Not a good person, in my opinion.
Is that why you've taken this so hard? Because your guy is one of the guys that did it. Like, would you have been less impacted if it wasn't the guy who was your guy doing it?
I think no. I think that it was hard hearing his comments the way that he said it. There's lots of other things that have come out about Phil that don't make him to look be the likable guy that is his was his public persona. But I think the way that the players have acted towards each other, the things they've said about each other, is really the reason for me. Okay. I don't. It doesn't matter who it was going to be. Yes, it hurts because it was my favorite player. But at the end of the day, it's that they just don't. They genuinely don't seem to like each other anymore. And that was when you go to a golf tournament, it comes across that there's this brotherhood, or in the women's tournament, the sisterhood, and the LPGA still has it. The PGA does not have it anymore. And I don't know. Look how long it's taking. They cut this deal that it has made people so bitter, and they can't even finish it.
Never going to happen.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It just never seems to be ending. And I don't understand why they don't see the harm that is coming to their sport. Now, for the LIV golfers, they've now been handed all of this money. They don't, there's no urgency for them.
So they say that, but Koepka won the tournament. Like, there are golfers that continue to play hard. I think it's on the individual golfer to self-motivate, but you're right.
Oh, I'm not questioning their work ethic at all. I'm saying that there doesn't seem to be an appetite or an urgency to healing. And I think that this sport is more wounded than any sport we have seen, maybe, I don't know, maybe in our lifetimes. I mean, look, we've all gone through different sports going through strikes and how harmful that was to the sport and how fans reacted to that. And, you know, when there were players, there were scab players who crossed the picket lines. Those were bitter things. I would argue that what's gone on between LIV and PGA is worse than that.
It's so sad to me. I love talking golf with you, and I just you don't want to do it.
I have,
and
not,
I understand.
You know,
by the way,
I look forward to the first tournament in Hawaii every year. I've actually played Kapalua, and I love watching it to watch the golfers and to also see how much better they play the course than I do. I didn't watch. I didn't think about it until you brought up golf in the middle of March.
Do you think
just now?
Do you think they're the majority or the minority? Do you think most golf fans are just like, they're doing their thing, I'll watch because I like golf?
I don't know. You're the ratings guy. You're going to have to tell me. I have not looked to see what the ratings are. I would suspect that the ratings aren't nearly as good. I mean, look, the Waste Management Open became a disaster this year. A disaster. I mean, and everybody saw that as the fun tournament where people... And now it's completely out of control to the point that they had to stop. Did you ever think they would have to stop beer sales at a golf tournament?
No, I did not.
Yeah. So it's the sport is chaos now. And I don't know who's the leadership. The players are going to have to. And Tiger Woods has tried and Rory McIlroy has tried. But have you heard anybody of the premier players on the LIV side talk about healing? Talk yeah. about how to fix it and how to heal the wound. You don't. You hear about them complaining about points that they want towards the championship. That's what they're talking about. And so somebody has to lead. And I don't hear anybody leading. And I don't even hear any of the elders of the sport coming out in such a way that they're helping healing. I just think that everybody doesn't know where to go from here. Because it ripped apart so quickly.
All right. Well, I want to leave golf there and I want to go to spring training. Griff McGarry sent to AAA to be made into a bullpen guy.
Good move.
Right?
Like, yeah, very good move. Right now the Phillies have five. I know you want a six-man rotation. I don't see that happening.
I don't want a six-man rotation. I think they will go with a six-man rotation at times. I would like a 5-man rotation where guys go 7 innings and they're all really good arms. That's not going to happen.
A 4-man rotation back in my childhood.
Oh, like back in my day, they threw 7,000 innings and their arm fell off, and then we ran them out there again.
250 to 300 innings.
I just enjoy when you do the back of my day.
I may just start boring people, but I actually did read an article the other day.
You may start boring people? Huh? You may start boring people? They've listened for years. They've been bored by you way more times than that.
About different pitches and how there's increased injuries as a result of certain pitches being thrown more.
And the arm slot that they use to throw it.
Yeah. And so you
got to find somebody who's writing a book about that and get them on the show.
So here's my question. So the Texas Rangers are the ones that are pushing this theory a little bit. Their doctors are pushing this theory, and they discourage their pitchers from throwing certain pitches.
A lot of breaking pitches, right?
Speed. So the question is can you, in today's game, have a pitching staff where your goal is longevity at the risk of maybe not getting as many outs? And that's going to be something that's a struggle for the sport, because this is all going to get worse, not better. The harder they throw, the more they throw these pitches, the more torque. I just tore my shoulder.
Yeah, I didn't even
doing nothing. I don't know how they do this.
You're playing hurt and injured today. You're on the IL. You got a tear in your shoulder.
Well, 10 years ago, I was coaching,
working out to grab the mic to talk to me, right?
I was coaching kids that were 11 years old, and it didn't cross my mind when I hurt my shoulder back then, because all you're doing is like soft tossing it to the kids. You're not doing anything. And the doctor said, well, look how many pitches you're throwing. The arm's not meant to go over the head with any velocity. That wasn't the way our bodies were made. And we have people doing unnatural things at massive velocities, also putting torque on it.
We're also getting older, Jeff.
If you want to talk pitching, look, I think the Phillies pitching is one of the top 5 pitching staffs in the league. If they can get Jordan Montgomery on a short deal, I'd like to add him as well. But I think Griff McGarry going to the bullpen is going to be somebody you're going to see later in the season if they can get him to harness his control. And the idea is by him throwing less innings, that maybe he can harness the control, because his big problem is walks. You also have Mick Abel, who so far this spring has looked pretty good, right?
Look good.
So hopefully he goes down, starts the season in AAA, and continues to thrive. So you have him as a backup. Sanchez already has a new pitch and seems to look even better than he looked last
year. Suarez has looked great.
Yeah. You just aren't you always waiting for when the Ranger injury comes, though?
Yeah, well, he had issues last year. He had the injury, he had the visa issues. There were lots of reasons why he wasn't able to play. We got about 3 minutes left or 4 minutes.
All right.
Left.
Well, there is something I want to talk about with pitchers.
Okay.
The Yankees and Scott Boras.
Go for it.
Okay. So Scott Boras has the two main remaining pitchers out there, Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell, correct?
Yes.
And he is also the agent for Gerrit Cole.
Yes.
And Snell and Montgomery have somehow not signed deals and been held back. And do you not think that in any way they've been held back at the idea that somehow Boras knew something about Cole's condition?
Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist to end the show today.
And I don't know if that's the case, but it does seem like they now have the Yankees over a barrel.
Yeah, I mean, Cole's going to be out, 10 to 12 weeks? They don't think he needs surgery.
If that. How many times does this type of injury happen where they say they're holding him out for a month or two?
And then they do surgery.
And then all of a sudden they go and have the surgery.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's huge. And Boras has had this thing where he's holding him out till camp. I still think you'd want your guy in camp. I do have a question with 3 minutes left before we get off the air.
Okay.
What is old for an athlete? I thought you were talking about me. No, I told you about this the other day with my 7-year-old son.
Yeah.
He asked me what is old for an athlete. And I was saying, well, it depends on the position and the sport and the, you know, what they're playing. And he was asking why, like, a running back is considered old at 29, but an offensive lineman is not considered old. And
if I knew a publisher, I would go get a page printed up that has the definition of old to put in the dictionary in that slot with a photo of you.
Well,
you could just show it so to your children.
My 7-year-old.
This is what old looks like.
My 7-year-old lovingly said to me, well, if 29 is old, that makes you really old, right, Daddy?
Yeah. Yep. So we all have that moment.
I realize
says that to their parent at some point.
I'm like your moment. Almost twice as old as the old guys in sports now. How did that? When did I become you, Jeff?
That's why Jamie Moyer was such a hero to us.
So tell me how I navigate this part of my life. Do I just put a lawn chair on my lawn to tell people to get off? Or how does this work for me?
You tell yourself that there are Olympic sports that you can still qualify for. And I will point you to
Carly.
You're now in the club of old men, and we all start to watch curling. Because when we watch it, we get to look at it and go, I could do that. You still have hope. I still have hope. Any of us out there have hope because there's curling, which basically is just shuffleboard.
Do you see the extent that I've gone to not talk about the Sixers disaster on the court and what the Flyers did last night and two nights ago, getting blown out and the Union getting blown out 6-0 on the road? I've really dug deep, Jeff, to find topics that are not them. We got a minute left. What do you want to talk about to close the show? Anything?
Oh, whatever your old heart.
Are the Sixers going to make the playoffs? They're in the center spot right
now.
Yes,
they will make the playoffs, but they're not going anywhere. And this is what I've been telling you since Embiid went down. And I haven't heard anything that leads me to believe that Embiid's actually going to be able to come back, let alone that he's going to make a difference.
That's going to be the last word. Thanks so much for joining us this week. Make sure to join us next Friday night to help you start your weekend in style. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Operating engineers are the men and women that move mountains. And the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative, ELEC, puts them to work. They create opportunities for the men, women, and union signatory contractors of Local 825, repaving our roads, keeping our homes bright and warm, and even building our favorite team stadium. We understand infrastructure. That's why ELEC and Local 825 are ready to get to work.